We're joined by an analyst, and he's an analyst on NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. He played 15 years in the NHL, 217 career wins. He was the 38th pick overall in 1980. Kelly Rudy is my guest. Kelly, it's been a while, but it's great to have you back, and there's a lot that I want to talk to you about. But before we get into it, how are you and your family doing in the middle of this pandemic?
We're doing okay, Jim. I think you might know, if you follow me on social media, that one of my big things that I like to talk a lot about is mental health. And so we've been on top of that in terms of all of our family, our kids. We're grandparents now, Jim, and so life looks a little bit different. But, yeah, we're doing okay. Thanks for asking. I hope that you and your family and your friends are all okay. And, you know, it was really nice to get the invite because I was thinking about it, Jim. I don't know if you'd remember, but my first time on your TV show was October of 1989. I had just been traded to L.A. in February of that year. We went through the playoffs. We lost in the second round, and I was lucky enough to have an invite from you to go on your TV show to start that NHL season, and Bruce McDonald, our owner, drove me to your studio. So we go back a long, long time, my friend.
Oh, Kelly, that's amazing. What an amazing story that is. Bruce McDonald drove you to the studio. Now, I remember those days very vividly. Those were great, great days. And I did want to catch up with you, Kelly. And when you mentioned mental health, that really is the reason, aside from you and I haven't spoken in a long time, but that is the reason I want to catch up with you, because in addition to your work as an analyst, you were also a mental health advocate. It's a role that you've taken on that you've been very public about. If we were to go back to that time, you told the LA Times that before the 92-93 season, Kelly, with the Kings, you started to deal with mental health challenges. What were you feeling at that time, and what were you dealing with?
All right. So, first of all, I had no idea what mental health issues were, and so I didn't know what was going on. I thought this was a normal brain talking to myself about all the issues that I was feeling, and what I was feeling is that I thought my career was coming to an end. You know, I had known all the stats before that most NHL careers are ballpark in around 3 years, and I was to find out later, Jim, that of all the guys that have ever played in the National Hockey League, 49% of all the players play 50 or fewer games. I didn't know that stat at that point, but it just tells you how short a career most likely will be. And so my brain was telling me that I couldn't keep this up anymore, I couldn't play at this level any longer, all these negative thoughts. And so I started the season, Jim. You'd remember that was the year in which Gretzky was injured to start the year. But we got off to a great, great start. I had maybe my best start, even though I was struggling with all these thoughts. But it came crashing down when we were in Milwaukee for one of those neutral site games right at the end of November. And I had an episode the night before the game in my room. I had ordered room service and just a Pepsi or something, and the thoughts were louder and louder and louder, and somehow I was able to get through the night and play the next game, and I actually had one of my better games of my career. We beat Chicago 4-3, I believe, and we went home, and I had a couple more good games, but then I went right in a ditch in a hurry, and I literally thought that I would never play again and that I was the worst goalie in the National Hockey League, so I couldn't any longer control my thoughts, and luckily for me, Barry Melrose recognized I had an issue and I had some problems, and he recruited his good friend Tony Robbins, so I was able to work with Tony and Barry, and they're able to get me out of that really dark place and lonely place, and I was able to play not only the rest of the season in which we went to the finals, but I played another 5 years. So whenever I tell or see Barry, I tell him I'm forever indebted to him.
Kelly Rudy is joining us. You know, it's an amazing story, Kelly, and it's so great that Barry Melrose was your coach at that time. I mean, from the outside, Kelly, people have the impression that hockey players are so tough, and they are, and they can face down anything. Like, at that time, what was the culture like in the game if you wanted to talk about mental health?
Oh, it wasn't a very lively conversation, I can tell you that, because I know that some of my teammates were very skeptical of Tony and the work that he was doing with myself. And even afterwards, when I became healthier, I could see some of the guys were on board and they were happy and they were grateful that I was able to get the help. But it was the following season, Jim, when I really recognized that this sort of work It was not gaining a lot of traction. So our team was slumping again, and Barry once again recruited Tony, but not for me individually, but for our team. And so Tony was going to meet with all of us, and I could see there somewhere around 12 guys that were extremely skeptical, and they went through the exercises, but I knew that it wasn't resonating whatsoever. So I think, Jim, this conversation, it may have started for me back then, but I don't think that it's really started to take hold, at least in my industry, until the last 7 to 10 years, when I think, and not just sports psychology, because we're talking about something different. We're talking about mental health issues, and that's a completely different field, in my opinion.
We're talking to Kelly Rudy, former NHL goaltender. You know, Kelly, when I started the conversation off, I said, how are you and your family doing? And you said, well, we're together and we're dealing with mental health, and that's part of the advocacy. Like, let me ask you about your daughter, Caitlin. Now, she was 11 years old, and she did not want to go to school or dance class. What do you remember about that time?
Oh, Jim, you warmed my heart, buddy, knowing all about Caitlin's story. So, well, I remember some of the most troubling times in our family's life, and Caitlin's life was completely debilitating. She couldn't, as you mentioned, leave the house. She couldn't go to school, couldn't go to dance, didn't want to be around her friends. You know, we partnered with a bank here in Canada a number of years ago when Caitlin came out in a big way in 2013 to tell her story Canada-wide. And that bank, the Royal Bank of Canada, had a sign. It was Nova Signs, and they had five different signs to look out for to check on somebody's mental health. Well, Donna and I, the night before the stories came out, I was in St. Louis doing a playoff game for Hockey Night in Canada, and we had a chat, and we came up with, I believe, 13 different signs that Caitlin had been exhibiting. Jim, we took them all as individual habits, maybe quirky habits, and we didn't put the entire package together. Had we done that, we would have been able to get Caitlin the help that she needed earlier, but I have no regrets about that, Jim. I did not know that trouble was lurking. I didn't know what mental health looked like. I didn't know that Caitlin was suffering. And by the way, oftentimes, and Caitlin is an example of this, when they're going through something, she was a really good liar. Like, she was trying to hide it like crazy. And so going back to those times, you know, I think of her when she was now 16 years old, and she started to tell us that she's now starting to have more good days than bad. So we put in a lot of work, lots of breathing exercises, all these other things, and man alive, it turned our world around, and we're so happy to have Caitlin and the work she does, mental health. I've told her many, many times, I've met a lot of really great, powerful people, but I think she's the strongest person I've ever met in my life.
What an amazing statement. Kelly Rudy is joining us. Kelly, just so the listeners are clear on this, Caitlin was struggling with anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder. She was diagnosed, but to your point, she went public with that diagnosis in 2013, and she received so much positive response. It was such a courageous thing for her to do. How much have you learned from Caitlin throughout the entire process?
Oh, boy. I can't tell you how much I've learned. It's improved my life. It's improved my wife's life. It's all of our family members. And Caitlin has, you know, she's been such a great advocate for talking about mental health. So many people, Jim, come up to her and us every single day, and that's not an exaggeration. And whether I get a text message, a phone call, an email, I bump into somebody in the local coffee shop, somebody comes up to us and shares their story. Now, the beautiful thing about this, Jim, once again, the night before she was going to go public, I had a great conversation with her about, do you really want to do this? Because I was so afraid of social media and the haters and the bashers out there. And I'm proud to say, and for your listeners that might be struggling and might be interested in getting some help, you will find only love and support. Caitlin had not one basher, not one hater. And nobody tried to embarrass her. Nobody tried to shame her. And so that's my story about this. You will find people will be so supportive, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You know, as you know, Jim, I live in Canada, and the Canadian Mental Health Association will tell Canadians that one in five Canadians will suffer, and I disagree with that number. I say maybe 1 in 5, it's completely debilitating and they can't function. I say the number is closer to 4 in 5 or even 5 in 5. We all have something.
And I lost Kelly Rudy momentarily. Kelly Rudy with such a powerful message. Why don't you see if you can pick that up? Adam, I want him to finish that thought. There's another question or two that I wanted to pose to him as well. Kelly Rudy is an analyst on NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada and did play 15 years in the NHL. Was the 38th pick overall in 1980 and had 217 career wins. And it does bring a smile to my face. I mean, this is a very serious and powerful subject as well. But I love that Kelly remembered that when he first got to L.A., he came on our TV show and that Bruce McDonald had driven him to the studio. And we are now saying that back up. Kelly, nice to have you back. Why don't you finish that thought? Yeah, you said that number 1 in 5 did not make sense to you, but more like 4 in 5 or 5 in 5.
That's right, because I think we all have something in our own way. Now, it's not debilitating, luckily, but we all have thoughts. We all think about things. We all have our own sort of anxiety, I believe, but we're able to get through a day. You know, we might have our thoughts, and it's different for everybody, but that's the thing I really want to encourage people to talk about, and don't go through it alone. Man, I did that, and that's not great. That's a hard way to do it. Caitlin has taught me a ton about talking about it, and our entire family talks about it. Like, our oldest daughter, Jessica, she is the mom to our little precious Maverick, our grandson. She's never experienced mental health issues until this pandemic, and it really got her, and it scared the heck out of her. She's had to deal with her thoughts and so on. My wife was so scared leading into this pandemic, and then when it sort of really started to rage, and then she ended up stressing herself up, Jim, and she ended up getting shingles. So this is something I believe that affects all of us, and luckily it doesn't affect us day-to-day or greatly, but we have to be on top of it.
Kelly Rudy is my guest. Kelly, before you go, I want you to share one more thought. You posted a video in April where you talked about the fact that it has not been easy and that there was a week where you just did not feel up to it, and then you put on a shirt that read, quote, "It's okay to not be okay," end quote. Why was it important to you to share that with people, that not every day is an easy day, and what did you want people to take away from that message?
That it can affect all of us, and you're right. I was posting weekly videos, sometimes a couple a week, and I was just stressed out with the pandemic and the thought of work and finances and all that stuff, and I thought this is an important message. A friend of mine made those shirts up. It's, as you mentioned, it's okay not to be okay, and I want to stand up in front of people and really share that it can affect everybody. If I can be on national television every single week, every single day, if I can get a message out there that I'm like you, you're like me, we're all in this together, please, please share. You know, it's not easy sharing, but it's really comforting to know that people react to that. I had so many positive reactions from that to this message, Jim, and this is one of them. I mean, you reaching out to me, and we're not even talking about the pause in the National Hockey League. We're talking about something far greater and more important in our lives.
No question, Kelly. That's why I wanted to find you. As I mentioned, I want to get caught up. You know, a couple of old friends talking, but it's such a powerful message, and I think that your family has displayed tremendous courage in going forward and sharing your thoughts and suggesting advice that you don't go about this alone, and every day is not an easy day. You played 15 years in the NHL. Kelly, if there are people listening right now that are going through this and are not sure where to turn, where should they turn, or if they want to reach out to you, how would they do so?
Well, for me, they can get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram. Number one thing, also, talk to a friend, talk to a loved one, or here's another idea, Jim. If you're somebody and you're around a family member or friend and you're looking at them, most likely you can tell by looking in their eyes that they may be struggling with something. So you should start the conversation, and maybe they won't be a part of it, but maybe they will over the course of time. And you should ask them something like, "Hey, how you doing? Are you okay? I sense that you might be struggling a little bit. just gently sort of nudge the conversation in that direction, and you may be surprised that they may just say, yes, I'm not doing great.
Excellent message. An analyst on NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Kelly, so great to get caught up. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on. I'm so glad we had that conversation, Kelly.
Same, Jim. I really appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, Kelly. Kelly Rudy. All right, another powerful message. As I mentioned, this was going to be a challenging day. This was going to be a heavy day. This was not going to be a show for everybody.